Our sermon today picks up from the reading that we heard from June earlier. It's Judges chapter 16, verses 10 through 22. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you could be bound." He said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." The men lying in wait were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you could be bound." He said to her, "If you weave the seven locks of my head with the web and make it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like anyone else." So while he slept, Delilah took the seven locks of his head and wove them into the web and made them tight with the pin. Then she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me three times now and have not told me what makes your strength so great." Finally, after she had nagged him with her words day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. So he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. I would become weak and be like anyone else." When Delilah realized that he had told her his whole secret, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "This time come up, for he has told his whole secret to me." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She let him fall asleep on her lap, and she called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. He began to weaken, and his strength left him. Then she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." When he awoke from his sleep, he thought, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. So the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. We thank you, God, that you persist in loving us. At the beginning of the month, when we started this sermon series called Nevertheless, She Persisted, to honor Women's History Month, I said something along the lines of, we need to celebrate biblical women. Some of them are well known, some of them are obscure, but nevertheless, they deserve to be recognized. I guess I'll have to eat my words now. Delilah? Celebrate her? The cause of Samson's downfall and disgrace? If you want to talk about persistence, you got to mention Delilah. Only she wasn't persistent in a good way. She was just a full-on nag. It's obvious she didn't love Samson. Her motivation was strictly money. She was easily swayed to betray him by the Philistines' promise of 5,500 shekels. Five lords would provide 1,100 shekels each. She could live pretty large with that kind of money. The Philistines were obsessed with finding out why Samson was so strong. They thought his strength came from an amulet or a ring or a necklace he wore, something that they could take from him and thus get his strength for themselves. It's funny, whenever Samson is depicted in a drawing or a picture, he's some big brawny dude with bulging muscles, kind of like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. But it would be better if Samson were pictured as a skinny, short, nerdy kind of guy, more like Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. If Samson was so buff, nobody would have asked how come he was so strong. If Samson lived in Kentucky, his name would have been Samson Bless His Heart. He meant well and tried hard, but bless his heart, he just couldn't seem to catch a break with women. For all his physical strength, Samson was mentally weak when it came to women. His first wife nagged and nattered at him too until he told her the answer to his riddle. When he was on his way to visit her, he killed a lion. And later, when he came back and to Timnah to marry the girl, he saw a swarm of bees that built a hive in the lion's carcass. So he concocted a riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. He told his wife's people, the Philistines, he'd give them 30 linen garments and 30 festal garments if they figured out the riddle. If they didn't, they'd have to give to him, Samson, the same prize. The Philistines threatened to kill the girl and her father if she didn't find out the answer to the riddle and tell it to them. So for 7 days she needled and berated him and cried, "You hate me. You don't really love me because you won't tell me the answer to your riddle." And finally, Samson gave in and told her the answer. Samson may have been strong enough to tear a lion apart, but he certainly wasn't strong enough to resist the tears and tenacity, the persistence of women. Delilah, in particular, persisted long enough to finally get him to tell the secret of his amazing strength. I'm not really sure if it was supposed to be a secret. Before he was born, an angel from the Lord told Samson's mother he would be a Nazarite and would eventually deliver the people of Israel from their arch enemies, the Philistines. People who took a Nazarite vow were considered consecrated and sacred, set apart for a special purpose for God. I'm not sure if the Nazarites were supposed to keep their vow and the manifestation of it, their long hair, a secret. Most likely in Israel, people knew what it meant if someone let their hair grow long. The Philistines wouldn't have known about this sign since they were idol worshippers. They worshiped the false god Dagon. They didn't know or care about the one true God, Yahweh of Israel. What a witness Samson could have had if instead of teasing Delilah, he had just said to her, "My strength comes from my God." Perhaps Delilah was on the very edge of becoming a believer in Israel's God, a more powerful God than Dagon, a more worthy God than money. As it was, his manipulation and teasing only infuriated her and made her ever more determined to discover the secret of his strength. The repeated ruses have an almost comical element to them, especially when Delilah wove the 7 locks of Samson's hair into her loom, and Samson woke up and walked off with the loom attached to his head. Was Delilah afraid of the Philistines who had bribed her? Had she heard about what they'd done to his wife and her father? They killed them to get revenge on Samson for burning their crops. Was Delilah afraid they'd kill her too if she didn't come through? We don't get a full three-dimensional view of Delilah. We see her as manipulative and avaricious because that's how the scripture presents her. We only hear her whining. We only see her trying out all the different lying tricks Samson told her. Delilah was pretty single-minded. Yes, she was persistent. Those 5,500 shekels were dancing right in front of her, too strong for her to resist. Delilah knew Samson well enough to realize when he was finally telling her the truth. His hair was a sign of his dedication to God. That hair represented his vow. His hair was not magic. Telling Delilah about his hair so casually was a sign of disrespect towards God. Samson showed that his relationship with God didn't matter as much to him as his relationship with Delilah. He put appeasing Delilah over pleasing God. Ultimately, it came down to who do you want more, Samson, God or Delilah? Could he have both, his secret and her love, such as it was? Of course, his heart was not with her, or should have been, with God. Samson surely didn't know about the money that had been promised to Delilah if she discovered his secret, and that was all she wanted. Too bad she didn't say, "Tell me more about this God of yours and why he is giving you this strength. Tell me more about this God of yours, and perhaps I will claim him as my own too." One of Samson's duties as a judge in Israel was to point others to God, but alas, he failed. Delilah had the last laugh in this comedy of errors, but after Delilah got Samson's hair all shaved off, she disappeared from the story. Where did she go? "Hey, Delilah, you just finally finagled Samson's secret out of him and got your 5,500 shekels. What are you going to do next?" "I'm going to Disneyland." Or did she buy a new loom to replace the one Samson ruined? Delilah was indeed a weaver, weaving a web of lies and deception around Samson, and she caught him in her web. Did Delilah ever regret what she did? When she heard how the Philistines put out Samson's eyes and made him grind the grain at the mill in the prison, did she feel sorry for setting him up for such a devastating downfall? We just don't know. So what do we need to learn from this sad story? It's a big cautionary tale about relationships, both the ones we have with people and the one we have with God. Samson knew what the Philistines were like. He knew they were idol worshippers who disdained the God of Israel, who was the source of Samson's strength. Knowing he was set apart for God's use, Samson shouldn't have gotten involved with either his wife or Delilah, neither of whom cared about the living God, unless he thought he could enhance and entrance their lives by sharing with them the blessings of following God instead of Dagon or any other idols. Samson should have stayed away from both of them. The Spirit of the Lord was with Samson, and he was a judge in Israel for 20 years. However, when he performed his feats of strength, he didn't always give God the glory, except at the very end. The Philistines brought him up from the prison dungeon to entertain them and credited their God for defeating him. How humiliating it must have been for this once proud icon of Israel to be set before his enemies as an object of ridicule. But Samson had one more trick up his sleeve. He asked the attendant who led him to put his hands on the two pillars that supported the hall where the Philistines were feasting and sacrificing to Dagon. And then Samson cried out to God to give him strength just one more time so he could get revenge on the Philistines for the loss of his eyes. He pushed down the pillars and the hall collapsed. He died with the Philistines, killing more of them at that one time than he had killed during his whole life. He called out the name of the Lord one last time. During his imprisonment, Samson had a lot of time to think about where he had gone wrong, about how he had placed his desire for Delilah above his devotion to God, about how he had not always used his strength for God and for good. And his hair started growing back. As his hair grew, so did his remorse, and so did his determination to do better and be better, to have another chance to prove himself worthy of the honor God had given him. In a way, Delilah forced Samson to rethink and renew his covenant of strength with God. He learned he had to take his vow seriously. He got a chance to get back in God's good graces. In the prison, blind, doomed to grind, he had time to make up his mind to follow God again. He learned his lesson, too late, that above all else in our lives, even above our loves and our power, we must give praise and worship to God and God alone. God is the light and the guide of our lives. This was the same secret that kept Samson going, that all we are and all we have are blessings from God. But Samson entrusted this special secret to someone who exploited it because she didn't care about God or Samson. Even as Delilah persisted in finding out what could cause his downfall, Samson should have persisted in his devotion to God and stayed steadfast and true and stronger than just physically. But Delilah wore him down. Samson and Delilah were not good relationship role models. Their relationship was pretty dysfunctional. One of them was always screaming, scheming, and crying, and one of them was always dreaming and lying, and neither trusted the other. Samson seemed to enjoy hassling Delilah and sending her on wild goose chases. Relationships are tricky. We have to nurture them like hair. How do you care for hair? You keep it clean and well kept. You comb out the tangles and the snarls and you let it grow, but you also trim off the split ends and maybe give it some color now and then and a new style once in a while and hang on even when you have a bad hair day. The only solid relationship any of us can ever have is with our loving God, who will never let us down, never leave us on our own, and never cut us off. Let us pray. God, we are powerless without you. We are lost and blind, relegated to an endless grind in a dark dungeon. But you are persistent yourself. You want us for your own, and you will do whatever it takes to bring us into your light. Thank you for never giving up on us, sending us your strength, and we will give you our unwavering devotion. Amen.